Welcome to the IT Modernization Month, sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton. Now here's your host, Tom Temin.
What's it like going from CEO of your own information technology consulting firm and jumping into the vast federal bureaucracy? That's what Johnson Joy did. He left J3 Global in Houston in June to become the new Chief Information Officer at Housing and Urban Development, and he joins me now. Mr. Joy, good to have you on.
Tom, thank you for having me.
Let me begin by asking you what it's like at HUD. First of all, you're in a different city than Houston, in a very different, I guess, business environment than you might have had in Houston. What's it like at a place like HUD after what you were doing before?
I think I am really enjoying here at HUD. It's a different environment. I have never worked for the government before. So I think I'm bringing a new perspective, you know, like a live, you know, and action here, you know, is happening. So I am really excited. I like challenges. So I think this is the perfect place for me to make things happen.
And do the HUD systems look at all like some of the systems you might have consulted for when you were in private practice?
I would say most of them, because we have so many mainframe legacy systems, and that's one of the big challenges as a department we have. And I think my experience in transforming, you know, those legacy systems into cloud and all will be a big help for me, and experience, you know, that I had before will be useful to make things happen here.
Now, I think HUD had been on a modernization drive during the end of the last administration, and some of the office applications and personal productivity tools for employees had been updated. What are your next big round of challenges, do you think? What do you need to do first?
What I am doing first, I already done it, is it's like a doctor, right? So we cannot give a prescription or a medicine before doing tests and, you know, analysis. So what I did is we did an assessment of the overall, you know, CIO office and find out where the gaps are. And it's like a wheel. If you don't grease the wheels, you know, it stops running and it won't stop, you know, go on a smooth path. So that's what I'm doing right now. So that's first step. Doing an analysis and assessment of our organization, and then we will be prepared to take the challenge, especially in the digital evolution and the new technologies that are coming in.
Are you looking at the people as well as the systems themselves?
Yes, we are looking at both the people, the systems, the infrastructure, the whole, you know, round from beginning to end. That's it, because I don't want to leave anything, you know, on the table.
And do you have people that are participating with you? That is, how are you getting the line people involved, because they've been working with these systems for so many years?
Yes. This is the thing. As a leader, I shared my vision with them, and my vision is to make HUD a model for other federal agencies and departments. So when my people, my staff saw the vision and the strategy that I have placed, they are all on board, and they want to see us moving forward, especially in this, you know, digital age.
And there is a lot of COBOL at HUD. That is code word, I guess, for work for code, but also for legacy systems or older systems that might have been modern when they were first deployed. What's your experience and what it takes to convert those programs? I mean, as an IT consultant, did you have organizations just junk them and start over? Is there some way you can extract what you need to out of that code and make it into new? I mean, how do you go about those kinds of things?
First of all, what I'm planning to do is looking at, you know, how many lines of codes are there, what kind of, you know, structure the codes are in. I would do a back-end extraction of the code and do a front-end, you know, Java, or it's all technical terms, a front-end development. I'm not going to, you know, rewarm the whole thing. Just do an extraction, regenerate the code. That's my plan. And I want to make sure that, you know, everything is lined up before we start that project.
So an extraction means you get rid of it, basically.
Yeah, basically the old code, and basically, you know, regenerate the same logic. We are not going to change the logic. It's just, you know, converting it to a modern, you know, language that we have right now. That's it.
Johnson Joy is the CIO at Housing and Urban Development. I'm Tom Temin.
Booz Allen Hamilton. We're a world leader in applying modern technologies that are revolutionizing healthcare, protecting our nation against crippling cyber attacks, and making government more accessible to citizens by opening up its data and modernizing its digital systems. How do we do it? Through open, collaborative methods, such as DevOps and Agile, that bring technology and people together. Booz Allen Hamilton, technology leadership, agile innovation, digital transformation. Learn more at boozallen.com.
We're speaking with the new HUD CIO, Johnson Joy. And how do you get the logic out of old code? And how do you make sure that all of the business rules, especially at a place like HUD where they've been layered on decade after decade, how do you know you don't miss something crucial when you switch to new code?
What we are doing is we are actually doing a pilot and making sure we have a code generator, that a tool that we use that can actually do the extract, and we actually do a pilot and make sure it's working the same. So we do some test cases and all those kind of things in the lab and make sure it's working. And then we do, you know, the overall, you know, step-by-step, phase one, phase two. We cannot do like a complete overhaul in like, you know, 3 months.
Right.
Like a more than two-year project.
I see. And do you have a sense of how many applications might have to go through this process?
Right now, there's a major application. And once we take care of that major application, then I would say at least five to seven. That's what I have there.
Yeah, wow.
Right now.
And what is the first one you're working on? What does it do?
Actually, the first application is the backbone of the mortgage. Insurance, mortgage of all the banks actually use our system, our, you know, logic right now. So that's why I will have to engage all the stakeholders in this whole project and make sure that I am communicating, you know, on the progress of this project. So basically, this is the backbone of the banking system.
And has this been supported mainly by contractors or by HUD employees?
We have both contractors and HUD employees, and I would say mainly contractors supporting on a daily basis.
And let me ask you this. When you have these recoded applications, is the plan to operate them in HUD data centers, or is this a good candidate for cloud?
Actually, I'm planning to move it to the cloud because that'd be the best, you know, way to do this, because the cloud is a big, you know, we have a big push in the federal, you know, community for cloud, and I think cloud is going to be the future, and we either have to adopt it, you know, otherwise we're going to be left behind.
And do you envision this as virtualized machines so that you can have deployments locally around the country to kind of help with latency and backup and so forth?
Yes, actually, that's my plan, to have virtual, you know, interfaces. And also, we are planning to do a virtual desktop interface, VDI technology too, so we can get rid of all these, you know, desktops. And that, actually, that's going to be a big help for cybersecurity and the whole security. Because on the security front, I want to be on the offensive because there's so much, you know, attacks coming from foreign countries against our system. So that's one of my other strategies.
I was going to say, when you change the code, you're probably going to change the front end that users see. And so
Yes. What
will that entail? And will it entail new hardware for them?
I would say basically it's going to be a front-end Java, the latest, you know, user interface. And because anyway, we are modernizing our front end. We are replacing all our desktops with laptops and everything. So it will be ready, you know, the front end.
And what about mobility as part of this? Will that be something that you can free up people to go in the field or telework and this kind of thing with mobile devices?
Yes, that's my strategy. That's why, you know, we are providing, you know, laptops for everyone, all the employees at HUD, so they can take it to the field office, especially with the disaster, you know, recovery and management. That's a big push, you know. That's one thing I'm focusing on, making sure that, you know, everybody has a laptop and they can work, telework, and work from anywhere in the country.
And you mentioned there might be another 6 or 7 applications after this first mortgage-related one. And what's your timeline for getting everything up to date?
I would say 3 to 5 years for a complete, you know, yes, everything in the cloud, all the legacy applications migrated to the cloud. I'm planning 3 to 5 years.
And if you're in the job that long, that might be a record setter for some of the federal CIOs.
Yes, yes. So I'm hoping, you know, I can make this change and leave a legacy for the next CIO that's coming. So it will be make his work easier. Mm-hmm.
And there's something called Modernizing Government Technology Act that is coming. We assume it's going to be coming. And so HUD would have this kind of revolving fund for modernizing systems, and there would also be a government-wide one. Have you given any thought to how you might utilize that for augmenting the money that you have?
Yes, actually, I would like to take advantage of the Management Act that is going to be, I think, soon signed by the president. So I'm really excited about that, and I think that's one way, you know, I will be able to fund this modernization, you know, effort at HUD. I'm looking into, you know, being a pilot for that.
All right. And what sort of conversations and have you had with and backing from have you got from Secretary Carson?
On the whole modernization effort?
Yeah.
Yes, he's all for it. He wants all the systems to be modernized. And he has already blessed to go forward with this initiative.
Johnson Joy is the CIO at Housing and Urban Development. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you again for having me on your show.
And find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Tamman.
Booz Allen Hamilton. We're a world leader in applying modern technologies that are revolutionizing healthcare, protecting our nation against crippling cyber attacks, and making government more accessible to citizens by opening up its data and modernizing its digital systems. How do we do it? Through open, collaborative methods, such as DevOps and Agile, that bring technology and people together. Booz Allen Hamilton, technology leadership, agile innovation, digital transformation. Learn more at boozallen.com.
At the Transportation Department, the road to IT modernization started with the decision 2 years ago to move to the cloud. The problem was no one owned the overarching strategy for improving legacy systems. But that's changed over the last 2 years. Jimmy Jones is a management and program analyst at the Office of the Chief Technology Officer for DOT. He spoke on a panel moderated by Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller at the recent ATAR Cloud Summit. Along with Jones, you'll hear about IT modernization efforts from Scott Kaplan. He's the chief of cloud security at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
In my role at the CTO's office at DOT, I manage all the projects, and including that is a cloud migration plan. When I joined DOT about 2 years ago, there was already two systems that were going forward in the cloud, and no one was there to manage them. I know that's shocking, but that's just the realm that we live in today. So when I joined DOT, one thing I noticed was we were trying to go to the cloud, and it was the famous hot potato game. Oh, well, shared services has this. Oh, security has this. Oh, the CTO's office has it. And I said, I don't have it. So it was this whole game. So what we looked at in the CTO's office was, how do we know that we're getting the best bang for the value of the cloud? And including that was two things. We had two documents that we're working on simultaneously. First was a series of questions. We go to the cloud. What are the basic questions that we need to ask ourselves, such as how we manage costs? You know, DOT is a large agency, 70,000 people. And we have, like, all these modes that do different things from railroads to highways to transport, you know, from that fit under the transportation model, delivering an efficient transportation system. What we determined was no one was really sure about who does what. So we asked ourselves some questions. What do we manage our costs? We have working capital fund at DOT, and that's a very complicated module as itself. And then we tied that to our as-is document, which says our cloud process document. Now, we have a lot of systems that are moving to the cloud. We work with our shared services group. We are Office 365. We have a lot of Microsoft. Amazon is getting in the modes a little bit more and doing some things with us at the CTO's office. We have a national address database that we're piloting with the Census Bureau. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to capture when you have a cell phone. You know, we don't have landlines anymore. We have cell phones. So when you have an emergency, it's hard for the 911 dispatchers to pinpoint your location. So we're using cloud, a little geospatial, and we're trying to pinpoint that location. This is a big project that it's starting as a proof of concept, but it's designed to provide best value. And of course, we're also trying to manage our National Transportation Library is in progress, and the VISTA program, which shows bridge deficiency data across the United States, is in the cloud. The other big system that we had, and probably you've heard about this, was safercar.gov. That was kind of like our big push when I first joined the department to move to the cloud. And you're probably thinking, why was that a big push? Well, the secretary looked at our office and said, I want this in the cloud. So guess what? We got in the cloud. And so as a result, after all that, we started saying, how come we didn't follow this? So this is what started the whole discussion process about what we're trying to do in the cloud. So I hope that gives you an overview of some things we're working on in the agency.
All right, as I said, this, I always like the one obligatory follow-up. So Jimmy, I'm gonna throw you just a little bit of a curveball. The census pilot, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
It's a pilot.
All right. What I told Jimmy is I'd ask a follow-up, and if he wasn't able to answer, he could give me the vanilla answer. We'd move on.
Well, it's still in the preconception stage. Okay. It hasn't, you know, like I said, we're dealing not just with census. We're also dealing with state data. So what we're doing is a pilot with the states and census to try to make this thing work.
Excellent. I know there'll be more to that later on. Scott Kaplan from NGA. Yeah, please bring that mic close by.
Hi, my name is Scott Kaplan. So I'm from NGA. That's the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, not the National Gallery of Art, for people. Because not really everybody ever seems to know who we are.
Finest headquarters in Washington.
We do have a very nice building, and it's a very nice commute. That's something you don't know. I hate it when I hit one of the eight lights. So it might be, I've got one of the best commutes in the region. So I am the Chief of Cloud Security at NGA. So I'm going to bring us into a little focus on the security aspect, because I'm here, you're all here to hear about how excited you are about the assessment and authorization process. All right? Everybody's looking for that ATO. So one of the big things that we're pushing in NGA and the vision we've got, it's called ATO in a day. How many people looked at me and go, wait, what? Yeah, right, sure, that'll happen, you know, when hell freezes over. We're 5 days away. We're down to 5 days. We're using the DevOps process and the DevSecOps process, building the tools using the cloud environment, which finally allows us a new paradigm, which is to build on the cloud, build apps into the cloud, and finally put security testing where it should be and has always should have been, and some people have done it and others, but at the code level. Testing the code as it's coming through a DevSecOps pipeline to be able to move maybe closer to the speed of mission. So the way I've been talking about it with lots of people is there's three legs to the ANA process, if you're not familiar. There's the body of evidence, there's your testing of your system, app, whatever it may be, and then your authorization piece. My goal is to automate all three phases. We've moved way down the line in terms of automating the testing environment. That's what's allowed us. We went from 3 weeks of the testing an app that used to take 6 to 9 months down to 3 weeks. We got it down to 2 weeks. About 2 weeks ago, we got it down to 5 days. So how do we get it back down to ATO in a day? And the next thing we're doing is, and I actually have a conversation this afternoon, we've started the process of how do we automate the body of evidence? The upfront portion, how do you show that you're inheriting the controls from the different tools, environments, platforms, and everything else that you're using in order to be able to actually show along the path, and then there's all the different documents that go along with that, everything from your SSP, your security assessment report, your risk assessment report, and all those things. My mind can all be automated. And if you can get it to that point, so then everybody's like, yeah, but you know, you still got to get through the assessment side of the house. You know, the risk management decision has to be made, and they're going to sit, and they're going to go, well, maybe. I want to overwhelm them with data that is accurate, shows it's a completely secure environment, so they can do nothing but press go. Or one of the things that NGA and on our risk assessment side has come up with is something called revamp, which is if you can show that you're a certain level of system, whether it's, you know, okay, there's no FOUO data, there's no PII information, there's no top secret information, anything like that, you only need to meet a few controls. You're a level one system, you only need to meet a few controls. If you're, yeah, PII data is something else, you're maybe a level two system, you only have, yeah, okay, now your adapter's a little larger. Let's say you're putting in TSSCI system, classified system at the top. Okay, maybe you have to do a whole chunk more of controls, but showing how controls inherit. Using that type of an environment in conjunction with the ATO in a day idea and automating that portion, maybe I can say if you can meet all the different controls and all the different environments to meet that requirement that they've put out, it can get an automatic ATO that it just continues through the pipeline. The one neat thing that I see, and this is because, and I've been doing this now, I've been in this role only a few months, actually, so there's another new thing. I was the deputy that prior to that for a short while, was it's allowing me to blow up the old process that I hate, and that probably most of you hate. Years ago, I did the testing side of the house. Then I said I'd had enough, and I went into the ops world for many years, and I came back out this year back into the computer security world because my predecessor said we're blowing up the old system. I was like, cool, let's do that. And then he left very quickly. I was like, dude, you got to give me a chance. But it was a vision that he started that I thought was outstanding in its idea. And we're getting there. I'm hoping by the end of this month to have a pilot of a minimum viable product for the automating the body of evidence. I believe that's the next big step to getting us ever closer. And one of the arguments or discussions that I make is the cloud environment has allowed us to be more secure than we ever have been. There's lots of different ways to screw it up. We all know that. And there's lots of tools and lots of you that are helping us figure out how not to do that. And we're using those tools. But it's changing a paradigm. It's changing a mindset. When I say ATO in a day, you all looked at me, I'm sure, at least happy. We're like, yeah, no way. But I think we can get there. And it's changing that mindset for people that there's the tools, the capabilities, the cloud environment will allow us to get to the point where we can actually do DevSecOps. We can do continuous integration, continuous development on the apps that are put into the environment so that we can maintain an ATO and then put continuous monitoring underneath all of that to make sure that we're not inducing other risks into the environment as we add more components on. So I'll leave it at that.
All right, so I'm going to jump in for my one obligatory follow-up real quick. So, Scott, so 5 days is impressive. Do you foresee getting down to 1 day or 2 days or 1.5 days? Is that a year away? Is that 2 years away? Do you have a sense of?
I'm hoping months.
Months away.
Because if I've already told the folks, we actually had, it was interesting, we had multiple different groups that were looking at the body of evidence automation component. And I think I have found everybody in NGA that was working. It was multiple different developers, multiple different groups. And I've brought them all together to say, okay, we got the best brains of all of you. How can we come with one initial solution? And so the topic I'm going to bring up today in the meeting, and I've already partially done it, is said by the end of this month, I want a minimum viable product that can show me at least let's get it started. Let's show that we can automate, at least start automating the body of evidence. And let's find a product or an app that's coming in. So one of our groups is called Geoint Services. So I was excited that you said geospatial because at least then, you know, triggered the idea for NJ. But our Geoint Services group, they're looking into the future. They're the people who are looking for the apps that can quickly help our analysts solve problems that our analysts need to solve. And I've already put out to them that one of the apps, I want to know what's coming up. Let's down the pipeline so that we can test it on one of them. And if it works, then start going. We're already now consistently using the DevSecOps pipeline, at least for the testing component, to do so. So I'm hoping within months.
Scott Kaplan is the Chief of Cloud Security at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. He spoke on a panel moderated by Federal News Radio's Executive Editor Jason Miller at the recent ATAR Cloud Summit. There's more to the interview. Listen to it all at federalnewsradio.com. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to the IT Modernization Month, sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. IT Modernization.